Well, good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book study. My name is Janet B. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in North Carolina. Today is Monday, February 2nd, 2025. Today we are reading from the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We are on page 17, the paragraph that starts, "We of Alcoholics Anonymous," through one paragraph ending, "They have solved the drink problem." Today's readers are 12 Steps, Michelle M., 12 Traditions, Patsy M., readers of the text, Craig F., Penny C., and Penny E., newcomer greeter Lisa B., and second hour host Tony B. The reference number for Sunday, February 1st meeting is 23,172. That's 23172. OA preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Michelle M. to read the 12 steps. Good morning, Michelle.
Good morning, Janet. Thank you. Good morning, everyone. My name is Michelle M., a recovered compulsive overeater in Arizona. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. One, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive eaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thanks for letting me be of service.
Thanks, Michelle. And I will now ask Patsy M. to read the 12 traditions. Good morning, Patsy.
Good morning, Janet and everyone. The 12 traditions of Alcoholics Anonymous. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal depends upon AA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the only requirement for AA membership is a desire to stop drinking, or eating in our case. Four, each group should be autonomous, except in matters affecting other groups or AA as a whole. Five, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the alcoholic who still suffers. Six, an AA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the AA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every AA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. Alcoholics Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. AA, as such, ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Alcoholics Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the AA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, and films. And 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all our traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities.
Thank you, Patsy. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your share to the topic and to the literature that we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass. Then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speakers should be muted. Today we resume our study of the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous, and we are on page 17, first paragraph that starts, "We of Alcoholics Anonymous," through one paragraph ending, "They have solved the drink problem," commenting on one paragraph. And I will now ask Craig F. to begin reading. Good morning, Craig. Welcome back to Monday.
Good morning. Good morning. Thank you. Good to be back. Thank you for your services. This is Craig F., recovered in Broken Arrow, Oklahoma. Chapter 2, There is a Solution. We of Alcoholics Anonymous know thousands of men and women who were once just as hopeless as Bill. Nearly all have recovered. They have solved the drink problem. First of all, I want to point out that the title to this chapter, There is a Solution, is a declarative statement and a promise. There is a solution, declaring there is a solution, but there's a promise involved in that, that there is a solution. He hasn't told us yet, what it is. He's going to tell us here shortly in the book. But there's hope in that, you know, that we were without a solution for a long time. You know, there was the word hopeless and alcoholic went together, hopeless alcoholic. Hopeless compulsive overeater. There's many that still consider us hopeless. You know, the doctors that have handed out diets for hundreds of years and have not, and rarely have a patient come back successful. But this chapter says there is a solution. A solution to what? In the doctor's opinion, he laid out the problem. We have an allergy coupled with an obsession. That we have a disease that we're not just lacking discipline or lacking in moral fortitude sinners. We have a disease this allergy. We think of that when we pick up certain foods that we can't put them down. So define the problem, and then Bill's story gave us an example of the problem, and he refers to here, and Bill spent many years hopeless. He, he tried and gave up and tried and gave up and tried and gave up. But he finally came to a solution, and now we're going to find out what the solution is. We're going to discuss the solution today, or not today, but in this chapter, and I'm hopeful for that. Nearly all have recovered. We have a lot of people in meetings. Nearly all have recovered or are recovering. There's a lot of people that aren't among us, that aren't with us, that have the disease, that aren't recovering, but that's none of my business. What is my business is that I can recover. I have to remember that's my first business. I can recover, and I can recover because there is a solution, and it's available to anyone that chooses to work for it. And with that, I will pass. Thank you.
Thanks, Craig. And I will now take a list of names. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others may share their experience too. So if you shared on Thursday or Friday on any vision meeting, please hold back and let others share. I'm ready.
Lisa B. in South Carolina.
Tony B.
Rita P.
Melissa C.
Okay, let me tell you who I have. I have Lisa, Harlan, Tony, and Melissa.
Rita P.
Greta P.
Dorita P.
Okay.
Dorita P.
Okay, got you, Dorita.
Thank you.
Anyone else? Such a good paragraph. Okay, come on, y'all. You could talk for 3 minutes on the title only. Who else would like to get in here?
Nicole J.
Nicole, and two more people.
Lisa B.
Okay, then Lisa, I got you. Unless this is a different Lisa, so we'll see. Okay, so we've got first Lisa B., Harlan G., Tony B., Melissa C., Dorita P., Nicole J., and then I'm not sure if there's a second Lisa B., but we will go with this. So Lisa B., go ahead and start.
Good morning. Good morning, Janet. Can I be heard?
Yes, you can.
Thank you. My name is Lisa B., and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater, and I'm calling from South Carolina, and I do spell my name L-E-S-A. And thank you, Craig, for the wonderful lead. There is so much hope in this reading, and, it tells me that recovery is common. It's not exceptional, that this is what's happening when I do the work. You know, it always makes me think back about Dr. Carl Jung, when he's talking to Roland, Roland Hazard, that rare cases, spiritual awakenings. But now this is happening as a regular occurrence. And I identify with the hopelessness, but I've recovered the same way through the spiritual awakening as a result of going through the steps. And when I came here to this meeting, I was blown away. I was so happy, so grateful to have stumbled across, but I know it wasn't a stumbling. My higher power led me here to this OA meeting, A Vision for You, where there's a message of depth and weight. And I heard people introducing themselves as recovered. I was convinced that being a compulsive overeater, that chronic relapse, slipping and sliding, just not having any momentum in recovery. And what was recovery? Being able to do abstinence happily and peacefully. Like, how on earth do you do abstinence with a comfortable way? And that's what I heard people sharing here. So I am so grateful to be here. And why this line, nearly all I've recovered, is so important to me, because it's a promise, as Craig said. It also cuts through the doubt that I'm an exception, like that my case is different. And also it shifts the focus from hopelessness to the availability. This is available here for all of us. So I'm so grateful to be here, and thank you. I pass.
Thanks, Lisa. And that's Lisa B, L-E-S-A-B. Now we have Harlan G, followed by Tony B. Good morning, Harlan.
Good morning, Janet. Thank you for your service. And please don't be gentle with your warning because I'm out walking. 47 years ago today, February 2nd, 1979, I attended my first meeting of Overeaters Anonymous at the Orchard Mental Health Center, God likes to laugh too, in Skokie, Illinois, right outside Chicago. This chapter is the first chapter that was written. The doctor's opinion came later, a year and a half later, and Bill's story was originally supposed to be in the back of the book. Tom Uzzell was brought in late 1938, early 39, and moved it to the front so we could identify in. But this was the first chapter ever written. Now, the title of the chapter was eloquently described by Craig, who did a phenomenal job, that there is a solution. But let's take a look at something else. There is a solution. I don't like to make choices. I don't trust myself to make the right choice. There is a solution. A solution means the one in the book. What else is so vital about this paragraph? We were actually supposed to read all the way through to We Are Average Americans. But the bottom line is that there is an emancipative property to the fellowship. What do I mean by that? When I came in here in 1979, my ego told me that the way I thought and the things I feared and the way I behaved around life and food were secret and unique unto me. And I came into Overeaters Anonymous and I found people. And the people described in their shares and in their leads things that told my story. Ken W.H. last week said, this is the only organization where you don't know them and they don't know you. You walk in and 20 minutes later, you're reminiscing. That the fellowship of Overeaters Anonymous is as important as anything but God. God being the center of it, but the fellowship is emancipating because we can say to each other things that we can identify with, and we can utter the two most important words that we need to hear, me too, me too. That we have shared the fears, that we have shared the pain and the degradation, the humiliation of this disease. There is a solution. There is a solution. These are promises that are found nowhere else in the millennia of generations that had nowhere to go and nothing they could do. Thanks for your service, Janet. I'm so glad to be here this morning. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Harlan. And now we have Tony B. followed by Melissa C. Good morning, Tony.
Good morning, Janet. Thanks very much for your service. My name's Tony B. I'm a grateful recovered compulsive overeater in Scotland and incredibly grateful to be here with you this morning and reading this paragraph, chapter two, really getting to it. There's a solution. Thank God that there is. And this first word here, we, you know, I think that there, when they sent the mimeograph copies off, they got back the feedback that it needed to be in this inclusive we format, not saying you know you do this or you do that, but we. And I think this is the start of it here. You know, we really see that we of Alcoholics Anonymous come in. It's inviting, and you know, and we know thousands of men and women who have begun to recover, who have recovered, who were once just as hopeless as Bill. And we've seen the hopelessness of Bill, particularly in the first half of his story, going back again and again and again to the alcohol, knowing he can't, knowing he absolutely cannot handle one drink, but still the mental obsession taking him back. And I had that too. I came into OA in 2011 and I got recovered in 2023. So 12 years of in and out and in and out. And I didn't get this solution. And it's been said, a solution, this very solution that's laid out here, this program of action, which will produce a change, it will produce a psychic change. It will bring God into the most important position in our life, or higher power, as you understand that, as being the most important thing. And just as hopeless as Bill, nearly all have recovered. And we can say that. I can say that I am a recovered compulsive overeater. Why? Because just for today, I remember that I'm a real compulsive eater. I remember who can restore me to sanity. I know that it's God that can restore me to sanity. I turn my will and my life over to him, and I do other steps which keep me close. I clean house. I trust God, and I help others. Most important, when I got recovered at the beginning of 2023, going into sponsorship like nothing else, that's kept me recovered. And it says they have solved the drink problem. I'm not sure I have solved the drink problem. We together, yes, and with God, have solved the problem of compulsive overeating. It is no longer an issue for me, so long as I do today what I did yesterday and stay in the middle of the boat and help others, particularly clean house, come and listen to all of you sharing.
Time.
Thank you, Janet. I'll leave it there. God bless you all. Love you.
Thank you. Thank you, Tony B. And now we have Melissa C. followed by Dorita P. Morning, Melissa.
Hey, good morning, Janet. Thank you so much for your service this morning. Good morning, everyone. I'm Melissa C. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. I live in New York. And, you know, I am so grateful that there is a solution, that I no longer have to, like, wake up in the morning and think, ugh, what did I eat? Why did I eat all that? And what am I going to do about it today? And look for the next craze, the next projection, the next promise, the next scheme. I lived so much of my life, like, constantly searching out a solution to this problem that I've had, you know, for most of my life. And, you know, I think about, like, you know, it's Groundhog's Day today, right? And Groundhog's Day is like, you know, there's that movie Groundhog's Day where it's the repetition over and over again of, like, this man's day. And that's what it used to be like for me. Like, I would wake up in the morning, you know, I would be already putting things in my mouth, even though I just sworn I wouldn't. And I would be starting off again on that same cycle, and I could never see my way out of it. You know, even when I would lose some weight, even though I would, like, put the food down for a while, trying a new solution, it always came back again. You know, the food always resurfaced again. And then come into the rooms of Overeaters Anonymous, and I get to meet people who tell my story. They were once just as hopeless, just as, like, enslaved by food as I was, and their selfishness, right? They tell their story of their selfishness and their pain, and they no longer live that way. And that was, like, the amount of hope that I felt in those rooms, in this meeting, you know, when I heard people identify as recovered. And we have a solution. I mean, that is the truth. We have a solution. And it is a relationship with a creator, that there is a creator that cares about me and my ridiculous food problem, but it actually cares about me. And that not only is there a solution, but we have laid out clear directions for actually achieving that solution. And so the gratitude today. Thanks so much. And with that, I'll pass.
Thanks, Melissa. And now we have Dorita P. followed by Nicole J. Good morning, Dorita.
Thank you. Thank you, Janet. Can I be heard?
You can, loud and clear.
Oh, thank you, ma'am. The reason why I ask, because I never know when I'm muted or not muted. My name is Dorita Pippen. I'm from Cleveland, Ohio, and I'm really grateful to be here. I'm a compulsive overeater. Really grateful to be here. It's a privilege and honor.
to be at a meeting of Overeaters Anonymous. Everybody do not get this opportunity for whatever reason, so I'm really grateful I have a seat here. Yes, chapter 2, There's a Solution. My favorite chapter of the book, and I love the whole big book, so to have a favorite for me is like, wow. Yeah, and it's for the same reason people are talking about, because there is a solution. And, you know, they're talking about, well, this book is about a solution to an alcohol problem. We know that there's a solution to our food problem. And I believe, personally, maybe, I believe that this is a solution for the world problem. I really, really believe that. And that's why I'm a target, because I believe that. And if I'm a target, I'm a target. So be it. That's the bad news. But there is a solution is the good news. And it said, we of Alcoholics Anonymous know thousands of men and women who are just as hopeless as Bill. I know I was in that number. I was hopeless. Back in 1995, I wanted to take my own life, and that's how hopeless I had become. Step 2, came to believe in a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. I mean, there is a solution. This book is amazing. I mean, I'm so full. That's why I may even sound like I'm all over the place, because I'm just so full. This is my favorite chapter, chapter 2. There is a solution. And my whole life, I didn't think that there was one. But not only is there is a solution, I like to read it as, this is the solution. This is the solution. So with that, I will pass. Thank you so much, Janet, for your service.
Thanks, Dorita. And now we've got Nicole J. followed by Lisa B., and then we will take some more names. Good morning, Nicole. Nicole J., hit star 1, please. Okay, we will come back to Nicole. Lisa B., you are up.
Thank you. This is Lisa B. from Michigan, recovered compulsive overeater. What a miraculous program. I mean, so grateful for all of the 12-step programs because I qualify for them all. But today we're talking about food, obviously. And I was just as hopeless as Bill. I love the we of recovery, because when I came here, I always thought that I was the only one, you know, that thought this way. And so when I heard other people share their experience, strength, and hope, I was so relieved that I wasn't the only one, and that I had like partners to help me, you know, along with an omnipotent higher power. And my recovery has been phenomenal for me. I mean, I was not a low bottom eater for sure. And for the longest time, I didn't think that I qualified, but clearly I do. And I'm grateful to have found recovery from food here. And to know that I'm not alone in that. So thank you for letting me share. I'll pass.
Thanks, Lisa. And Nicole J., are you able to unmute now? Nicole J.? Okay, well, maybe we can get her a little later. And meanwhile, we can take another lineup of names. So let me tell you where we're at. We are on page 17, the first paragraph that starts, we of Alcoholics Anonymous, through one paragraph ending, they have solved the drink problem. And I can probably get about 8 more people. So who would like to share?
Mary K. G. from Illinois.
Okay.
Julie G. Julie G.
Julie?
Candace D.
That's
Joyce B.
Okay, wait, I got an Esther, and there was someone after Esther.
Candace B.
Got you, Candace. This is who I have. I have Mary Kay G, Julie G, Candace D, Esther, and that's who, but I believe there was someone else there.
Joyce B.
Vasa O.
Okay, someone B, then Vasa O.
That was Joyce.
Joy B, Vasa O. Six. I think I can get two more people in. First paragraph, but there is a solution. Great paragraph. And you get to comment on the title as well.
Kelly H, North Carolina.
Okay, we got Kelly H and Pete B. So I think we have our lineup. Mary Kay G, you are up, followed by Julie G. Good morning, Mary Kay.
Good morning, everyone. Thank you for showing up and thank you for your service. I'm so happy I showed up. I love that there is a solution. I'm so happy about the silence in my brain, and I don't have all this noise every day. And when I think of, oh, I have time to jump on the meeting this morning, and I jumped on, I'm so grateful because that's what I think about is how can I get to a meeting? How can I be supportive? How can I offer service and support others? And somebody was talking about trying to lose weight for a wedding that's up and coming, and I thought, oh, I don't do that anymore. I that's not my focus. Like, you know, trying to get to a certain, having an external force motivate me to alter my behavior. I have an internal relationship with God that helps me alter my behavior daily. I'm a compulsive overeater, a sugar addict, recovering but not cured. And I'm so grateful that there is a solution and that I found it and that this fellowship exists. I don't know what I would do without it. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thanks, Mary Kay. And now we've got Julie G, followed by Candace D. Good morning, Julie.
Good morning, Janet. Thank you so much for your service. Good morning, everyone. I am Julie G. I'm a compulsive overeater, recovering in Pennsylvania, and I am too so grateful to be here today, grateful to be present while we read and study this paragraph, and grateful to our friend in New York for reminding me that it's Groundhog Day, because, you know, sometimes I can't believe that I have been so blessed and lucky to have found this solution through all of you and through this book, because I do believe that I was brought here through the grace and mercy of the God of my understanding. After many, many failed attempts to solve the problem on my own. So initially, like when I read this and you know, was reflecting on it, I can get snagged on certain words. The word recovered, right, gets a little traction in the controversy column here. And then I was thinking, they have solved, right? I didn't solve anything. God has solved it for me. But, you know, to solve means to find a solution. And it came to me that, as others were sharing, in some ways, it's similar in my mind, but different, of course, but similar that it's like a math problem that you can try to do it 50 different ways, right? But you're going to get it wrong. There's one solution. Here, you know, I tried all of the human aid ways. I tried to get other people or other things that could that can help me, and that is connection to a power greater than myself, and who can restore me to sanity, and indeed has, whether I, for today, you know, whether I call that being recovered or whatever, it doesn't matter. I can't trust myself to make decisions, as someone shared earlier, especially about food, but I also can't trust myself to, be able to figure things out. Like, I don't need to worry too much about all that, what this word might mean or that word might mean. Because the fact is, we're all here together for a reason. We were all brought, I believe, by each of our own higher powers. You know, whether that's all the same one on some in some dimension, I don't know. But I'm just grateful. Thank you, Janet. I'm grateful to be here and grateful to hear more shares. Thanks. I'll pass.
Thanks, Julie. And now we've got Candace D. followed by Esther. Good morning, Candace.
Good morning. I'm Candace, compulsive overeater from South Carolina, and thank you, Janet, for your service and those that have been serviced by sharing your experience. I am so grateful that I am able to see the hope and there is a solution. Oh, my goodness, what a joy within me to see that thousands of men and women have, were once just as hopeless as me, has recovered. And that's the evidence that I've seen in being in this program of action, is that it's so many that come each morning, Monday through Friday, to give their experience, strength, and hope, that have recovered from the compulsive overeating, just as I am recovering. That gives me hope. It tells me there is a solution. There is a solution. I like what Juan shared about. It's the solution that's in the book. And as long as I adhere to the suggestions and what it says, but it says suggestions, but they are directions. And if I wanted to do what I needed to do to get something the way that it has been given and the perfectness of the outcome, then I have to go by the directions. So, it says as hopeless as Bill. I was completely hopeless and just checked out of life. And I'm so grateful today that I've been checked back in. I'm very aware of my behaviors, and there is a solution. So I am so grateful to be on this path, to be in the solution and not in the problem still. So thank you for allowing me to share. This is Candace, Food Addict. Thank you.
Thanks. Thank you so much, Candace. And now we've got Esther followed by Joy B. Morning, Esther. Can you give us the first initial of your last name, please?
Hi, I'm Esther K. from Atlanta, Georgia, and thank you so much for letting me share. Wow, there is a solution. It's unbelievable to be able to be at this meeting. Right now I'm walking my dog, freezing cold, but I'm willing to do whatever it takes to do to get that solution. It's so nice to wake up in the morning and know that I'm abstinent, knowing that I don't have to worry about, well, what I'm going to do now. I cannot do it. No, I'm doing it. And I have a sponsor. And I'm not afraid to talk to my sponsor. I finished the 12 steps. I'm doing service. I'm using the tools. I'm listening to this meeting. I make sure that I got up early enough to be at the meeting. And when I see so much recovery, it's like you want that, because it's so important to be able to not because what people say or what people do, it's because when I see recovery, it's like it's what I want. And finally, I have it. And I like to share with people. For me, one of the things, the most hard thing was talking to people on the phone. Now I love talking to people on the phone. Not only 3 phone calls a day, sometimes I end up doing, I don't know, I think so yesterday I did like 5. And I'm having regular people calling me, and I talk to somebody every single night. That is beautiful. So it's everything that I hope, it's there, and I'm going to continue to be in the solution and not being in a tragedy, being upset, or being something that I don't need to be. Thank you, and I pass.
Thanks, Esther. Now we have Joy B, followed by Vasa O. Good morning, Joy.
Good morning, Janet. It's J-O-Y-T-E, Joy. And I live in Illinois. Anyway, I love the title of this chapter, There Is a Solution, and It's Not Food. For me, that was my solution for so long in my life. And then I love this tiny little paragraph that starts out with we. I was such an isolator. It was just me and my food that brought me comfort, ease, and, you know, what I thought was a way of life. But really, it was the only way of life I knew. And I love that this is a we program because I don't isolate anymore. As a recovering compulsive overeater, food addict, I work the steps. I live in steps 10, 11, and 12. I do outreach. I sponsor. I get involved with people and give. You know, that's what I'm called to do, I feel. And I found that out by working the steps. And to me, they were my stairway to God. And I love this little paragraph, and I was just as hopeless as Bill, and I love that nearly all have recovered, and I feel that by working the steps and turning my life around, really God is the one who did it, that I have recovered, and I continue to recover, and I have solved my food problems so that I can solve the real problems in my life, because food was just the symptom. You know, it was my inability to accept life on life's terms. That was my real problem, and it's one I continue to work on through surrender and acceptance. Well, thanks for letting me share, Joyce B. from Illinois, and you have a blessed day.
Thanks, Joyce. And now we've got Vasa O, followed by Kelly H. Good morning, Vasa.
Good morning, Janet. Good morning, everyone. And I am Vasa, grateful, recovered compulsive overeater. Thank you for your service and everybody's service this morning. And I love this paragraph myself, you know, the good news. After trying to lose my weight over the years, sugar addict, I didn't even know the allergy of the body. I've done bulimia, anorexia, I've done it all for many, many years and looking for that solution, and I could not find it. This gave me a hope for the last time. I said to myself, I'm just, you know, if this doesn't work, I'm just going to die miserable. And I'm just so grateful I was led into the food addiction for the 12 steps. And I found the solution. I was so excited to find that out, you know, what the problem was and what the solution was. And there was a name for it. After not knowing what was wrong with me, to put the food down, there was a name for it. I had a disease, and they called it compulsive overeating, eating disorder. I didn't even know I had it. And I was just so excited and so elated. And to, like, I remember reading the fourth for the first edition, we of Alcoholics Anonymous are more than 100 men and women. Now we're thousands and thousands of men and women. Recover from seemingly hopeless state of mind and body. And that's where I was. I was dying gradually. And, you know, I mean, I love Bill's story, but I, you know, I had been suffering for many, many years. And finally to find out and what the solution was. I was so great. I couldn't wait to read the book. My sponsor gave me the book, and she says, this is a Vasa. If we don't follow the direction, of course, I needed to find power greater than myself. And that's where I found, you know, I went to church. I knew a little bit about God. I knew about this and that. But, you know, I did not know that God could help me if I surrender and just work the rest of the steps that are laid out. And that this is it. They said, come to six meetings and try it. If it doesn't work, we'll return your miseries. That's what I heard. I said, these people are really rude, you know. But anyway, and that is true. If people don't, they need to suffer a little bit longer, you know, and then come back. Some of them come back, and some die gradually. And I would have died. So I'm grateful I've stuck with it all these years, and I love the vision for you. And I'm just so grateful to be in recovering and pass it on to others. So I thank you for letting me share. And I'll pass.
Thanks, Vasa. And we've got Kelly H. followed by PP, and then we may be able to get another person or two. So good morning, Kelly.
Good morning. This is Kelly H., compulsive overeater from North Carolina. And this is a very timely meeting, a timely word, timely paragraph, and all the shares are blowing me away. I am one this morning, again, trying to grab hold of a solution. And in all the sharing, it's just such a great reminder. I really focused on the words presence, and then, the word know, which is present tense. We know thousands of men and women. And then the verb were, there's a past tense here of hopelessness. It isn't continuous hopelessness. It's a past certainty. And then have recovered, and then the word solved. And I like that. I like that there is a figuring it out mentality for people who are in this group, in the WE program. And I think I've been always a figure it outer kind of person. And I like the feeling that I've gotten the sense of it. And I certainly have read that a lot in Bill's story. He has figured it out. He's had a lot of aha moments all along until he didn't. And I'm kind of in that place again. I look at the title, There is a Solution, and I just feel tired. I even roll my eyes a little at it, like, here we go again. And I think that's an okay posture to be in at this state for me. And I have to come back to the reality that I have a question in my spirit about God's willingness and my own willingness. And what I have learned about God is that he is omnipotent and he's willing, but am I willing? Am I willing to accept the terms? And I think that's the honest question for me. I think with that, I'll pass. Thanks.
Thanks, Kelly. And now we've got Pete B. Good morning, Pete.
Good morning, Janice. Thank you for taking the meeting. My name is Pete B. I'm a compulsive overeater, and I'm recovered today by God's grace and mercy. And so recovered, what does that mean, right? And the definition says that it's returned to a normal state of mind and body. Return to a normal state of mind and body. Like, that's what happens. We normal is, you know, if somebody has an allergy to peanuts, for instance, they don't eat peanuts and they don't get the reaction from the peanuts. They don't have groups of people that they hang around with that remind them not to eat peanuts. They don't eat the peanuts. That's what they do. you know, this process, there is a solution. The interesting thing about this chapter is the majority of it doesn't talk about the solution. It talks about the problem, because we have to drill it into our mind. We have to understand the serious nature of the problem. And if we read the doctor's opinion, if we read Bill's story, we hear what happened to Bill. You know, Ebby showing up was a gift for Bill, right? It was evidence that something could work. But the fact of the matter is, Ebby didn't remove the obsession from Bill. The obsession was removed from God. You know, we're very, very fortunate. We have these meetings, and we have our fellows, and we have opportunities to gather and enjoy the camaraderie and the fellowship that exists, and it's really, really powerful. But the fact of the matter is, if somebody has this condition as defined in the book, the fellowship is not the solution. As a matter of fact, they told me when I first got sober that the fellowship never got one alcoholic sober. The fellowship is not the solution. And if that's offensive, I would apologize, but I'm not going to, because our book tells us that we never apologize for God. Because the fact is that the only thing that can remove the merciless obsession is not living in steps 10, 11, and 12 and reporting my food to my sponsor and making 3 outreach calls a day. The solution is a spiritual experience. Now, the rest of the book is going to lay out how you have that experience by working these steps to create a relationship with the source of the solution. And that source is the power. That source is the power. And there is one that has all power. That one is God. May you find him now. Now, if the fellowship has solved your problem, that's fantastic. Welcome. We love you. We're glad you're here. But if that is the case, then by definition, you don't have the condition that's described in this book.
Time?
Pass.
Thanks, Pete. Nicole J., are you available to share now? Okay, I can take one, maybe two more shares. Anyone else like to share, please?
Leah S.
Nancy C.
Leah S. I think
Alexis
you are
F.
Leah?
Alexis F.
Alexis, we won't have time for you. I'm sorry, but you can stick around for the 8 a.m. and share. Leah S., you are on.
Thank you so much, everyone. My name is Leah S., and I'm actually very grateful in Brooklyn, New York. And the reason I say always I introduce myself grateful is because I am so grateful to be able to belong to people who voice my fears, who voice my own insecurities, who voice my...
Oh.
So sorry. So this fellowship has helped me tremendously, inspired me to the solution of this big book very, very much, and continues to do so. I otherwise, why would I be coming on every day after that? I've lost 72 pounds. I'm maintaining it. Since 2014, I have not had a craving. I have gone through my craving stuff every single time and every single occasion, and it just doesn't call to me. And what I really want to say is this is about change. I wanted to change for the better. I wanted to become a little bit more different. Not much more, but a little bit more. And I wanted to have that comfort. I didn't want to be always contradicting you and always in a fight with you, and always in retaliation mode. And what am I going to say that's really going to resonate? I didn't want that anymore. I wanted to have some peace of mind. I wanted to have some inspiration that you can get out of whatever you're going through, whether it's worry or whether it's whatever it is, that you can do that. And I found that in these rooms. And with that, I will pass.
Thank you, Leia. And thank you to everyone who shared and read. Please join us for a second unrecorded hour of study immediately following closing. The share ID for today's meeting, that's February 2nd, 2025, the 7 a.m. meeting, is 23,175. That's 23175. And we will now close with a reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Penny C. please read A Vision for You? Our book is meant to be suggestive only.
Yes, thank you, Janet. Good morning, everybody. My name is Penny C. I'm recovered in south of Boston. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.